Good morning and a very warm welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And today, folks, we have a number of people contributing to our show. Reverend Rosemary is back with us, sharing on the lectionary scriptures for the day. And we shall have her reading to us one of those scriptures in a few moments. Joe is also back with his contribution, speaking on stillness and silence. And also today, for the first time ever, hot off the press, two musical tracks by Kieran Friel, who is producing an album called Hymns, Psalms and Sacred Songs. And so he has given us an insight, a taste to some of the songs that he has recorded. And we have two of those taking place today. One song is the classic hymn, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. And the other is a song called I Will Praise You. Two beautiful recordings. First time released, you're going to hear it here today on Heartlands. So my thanks to Kieran for sharing these songs with us. Kieran is part of the Christian Motorcycle Association, and one of his things is to go and sing and give God praise and glory using his voice. And I think you will really enjoy those two pieces. So as I said, the topic today is the topic of prayer. Prayer takes on many forms. Prayer ends up that we can have traditional prayer. Prayer ends up that we can be in silent and contemplative prayer. Prayer is one where it can be persistent prayer, intercessory prayer, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of adoration, prayers of praise. When you stop up and consider your prayer life, what does that look like? Is your prayer life, like so many people, one where it's a grabbing the fire extinguisher off the wall in a time of fire? The only time that we call out in prayer, the only time that we actually converse with God, is when things go wrong. Or is prayer something that is part of the fabric of your everyday life? It seems to be that it is either one or other of those extremes. When Jesus was amongst us, he told his disciples that when we pray, we should say. And what I love about this prayer is the impact of the prayer. You all know it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Why not use that prayer as a prayer of intercession for people? If there's someone you know and life is tough, they're going through tough circumstances, and we'll be speaking about that in a little while, why not fill in their name something like this? And I just slot my own name in as an example. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in Nigel's life as it is in heaven. Give Nigel this day his daily bread, and forgive Nigel his trespasses as he forgives those who trespass against him. And lead Nigel not into temptation, but deliver Nigel from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, I only use my own name as an example, but I would encourage you, if prayer is not something that is a major part of your life, use that prayer, but slot in the name of the person that you believe needs prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer over their life. That's what you're doing. That's an encouragement. Another prayer that's in Scripture is the Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace and turn his face towards you, and give you peace. And you could pray that over a person's life as well. Anyway, now here is our first reading by Reverend Rosemary.
Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14, through to chapter 4, verse 5. But you must remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you.
Words of encouragement and exhortation to Timothy from Paul. During the week, I went and broadcast my little encoponte, which you can find on YouTube or you can find on the Athlone Methodist Church Facebook page. And I was also speaking on the topic of prayer there, but I will share that clip with you later on here on Heartlands. But a person went and wrote to me in response, and this is what they went and said about prayer. Amazingly, I'm reading a book on prayer by a man called Dr. Ole Halesby. It happens to be a best-selling classic of its day, and of course will never lose its awesome revelation on the power of prayer at the disposal of a Christian believer. God has designed prayer as a means of intimate and joyous fellowship between God and man. Oh, how the Father longs for intimate fellowship with each one of us. God has designed prayer as a means of intimate and joyous fellowship between God and man. Oh, how the Father longs for intimate fellowship with each one of us, moment by moment, day by day. The author shows that true prayer is not a chore. It is a delight, and it is an anguish. It is work, and it is rest. It is a loving relationship, a way of living. Two main ingredients are helplessness and faith. It is our total dependence on God in the equation of living a life of faith, believing. God bless you deeply as you plumb the depths of Almighty God's presence and his power as you see lives transformed before your very eyes in your ministry. Prayer, folks, is how everything takes place. People refer to it as being the engine room of any church, any body of believers. Tell me, how is your engine room? Now for our first song by Kieran Friel. This is I Will Praise You, taken from his forthcoming album, Hymns, Psalms and Spiritual Songs. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are looking at the topic of prayer. During the week, I actually went and recorded a piece about prayer on my little encoponte slot that I put out on YouTube every week or on Facebook, on the Athlone Methodist Church Facebook page. And so I'm going to share it with you, as our topic is on prayer today. Then at the end, we're having the second song by Kieron, an old hymn called O Love, That Wilt Not Let Me Go. The scripture goes and tells us that when Jacob was in his winter years of his life, that he leaned on his staff and worshipped God. Well, this staff is a brush handle. But during the week, in regard to prayer, I had a picture come into my mind, which is taken from a story in the Old Testament. And I would like to encourage you. And I'll explain now in a little while. But this is exciting. So anyway, Moses ended up that he had his staff, as you all know, the staff that he used to go and cross the Red Sea, the staff that he threw on the ground in front of Pharaoh that turned into a snake, staff that he ended up that he held it out over the Nile and it turned to blood, all those sort of things. Moses' staff. And the thing was that in this particular story in regard to prayer, and this is revolutionary, people, revolutionary, okay? You all know the story, but I want you to think about this in regard to your prayer life. So, in regard to this battle that took place, in fact, I'll read it to you. In Exodus chapter 17, it goes and tells us, right, that the Amalekites came and attacked Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, pick out men for yourself and tomorrow morning march out to engage Amalek. Meanwhile, I will stand on the hilltop, the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him and marched out to engage Amalek, while Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses kept his arms raised, Israel were winning, had the advantage. When he let his arms fall, the advantage went to Amalek. But Moses' arms grew heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his arms, one on one side and one on the other, and his arms remained firm till sunset. With the edge of the sword, Joshua cut down Amalek and his people. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this action down in a book to keep the memory of it, and say in Joshua's hearing that I will wipe out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses then built an altar and named it Yahweh Nisi, because he said, lay hold of the banner of the Lord. And the Lord is at war with Amalek from age to age. Now, all the significance of Amalek and everything else, just leave this, let's just park that. But let's just think about this, okay? In regard to prayer, does prayer work? Does your prayers make a difference? Yes, it does. Because what happened in this story is, as Moses went and lifted the staff, and I'm not putting any emphasis on the staff now, so don't be getting excited, but as Moses went and lifted the staff and held the staff up in prayer over his head, Joshua was winning the battle. Then as Moses' arms dropped, Joshua was losing the battle. But then, as Moses' arms raised, Joshua was winning the battle. Then Moses' arms grew tired. And what happened? I love this. Aaron and Hur put a stone there. He sat down and they held his arms steadfast till sunset. And Joshua won his battle. Now here's the thing I want to put to you. Okay? Here's the thing I want to put to you is this. Now, maybe you know somebody. Maybe you're going through this yourself. And you're going through really, really tough time. Maybe Amalek, your Amalek, whatever that is, has attacked you or attacked someone that you know or something like that. And rather than just feeling sorry for them and going, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Isn't there a real pity what they're going through right now? Rather than saying that, pray. Because as you pray, the impact is that as you pray into that person's life, you are transforming their circumstances. That's what happened in the story. As Moses was praying, Joshua was winning in the circumstances he was in. Joshua's in the thick of the battle here. Joshua has no time to be seeing what Moses is up to. He has no clue. But Joshua's in the thick of it there, and you may be in the thick of your circumstances right now. You may have just terrible stuff coming against you. Loss of job, maybe you've ended up ill, maybe there's someone you know who's ill, maybe it ends up that there's a situation where you don't know where the rent is going to come from, maybe it's you don't know how to go and provide food on the table. Maybe it's all of these things. Maybe you know people in those circumstances. But here's the thing. More is about people in other circumstances you know of. But that could be family members. Here's the thing. Are you willing to go and pray on their behalf? Now, Jesus is very specific in how we should pray. He goes and says, whenever you need of something, ask your heavenly Father in my name. So when we pray, it should be Father in heaven and in Jesus' name. But I want to ask you a question is this. Are you willing to go and be the one who's going to intercede on that person's behalf? Don't talk about the terrible circumstances that person's going through. Oh, did you hear about Johnny down the road? Terrible, terrible situation he's found himself in. No, don't be saying that. Go, Lord, Johnny down the road is in a terrible situation and I am coming before you in prayer. I'm standing in the gap for him. I'm praying for him. You are my banner. You can sort this out. I'm going to keep rooting for him. Now, here's the exciting thing about this story. So there's Moses and his arms start to get tired and they're getting heavy, as it says. And then what happens? You know, what happens is that there's others joined him in holding that prayer. They kept his arms steadfast. You know, maybe it is that you are praying for something, but what you need is you need others to join with you in prayer, to stand with you in prayer. Aaron and Hur were both there with Moses, standing with him. Who have you got in your circumstances that you're going through, or who have you got in regard to the circumstances that somebody else may be going through that you're praying into their situation? Who have you got who's praying with you? After all, didn't Jesus go and say that if two of you agree on something in my name, it is done? You see, what happened here in this story is this. Aaron and Hur came into agreement with Moses and held Moses steadfast, held his arms steadfast, that they held those arms up. And what it doesn't say, that he'd held up his arms to the very throne of heaven. So, does prayer work? Yes. Can you change the circumstances for the people around about you? Yes. As soon as you start to pray for them and lift them up and pray that God's will be done in their lives, they have moved from being in a situation where their circumstances are bleak and they have no hope to moving into a winning type situation. Really? Yes. Why? Because God is listening to your prayer. And where two of us agree on prayer, Jesus says it's done. Do we have the faith to really believe that? Well, that's a whole other question. But let me ask you, who are you standing in the gap for? And if you're someone and you've been praying faithfully for years for a situation, years now, years, not a week, not a month, years for a situation, and you're seeing no breakthrough, here's my message. Don't give up. If you've been praying for a week, don't give up. If you've been praying for a month, don't give up. Keep pressing in. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having your arms held in one the same position all day till sunset? Can you imagine how Aaron and Hur were feeling as they were holding up Moses' arms? They were in this together. They labored together in prayer. And Joshua, who was down there in the midst of the circumstances, oblivious to what these three guys were doing, he was winning the battle on the strength of their prayer. Whose battle can you help them win on the back of your prayer? Oh, I'm telling you, this is so exciting. There is power in your prayer. Don't forget it.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we're looking at the subject of prayer. And so we have been looking at persistent prayer. Continuously, as Moses was lifting up his hands, that was how he was impacting the lives of the people around about him. And so you and I can impact the lives of people around us and pray for them that they will be able to get over the circumstances in which they find themselves in. In this section, we look at a different aspect of prayer, and that is one of stillness and silence. And Joe is going to share about that in a few moments. But first, we are going to have a hymn sung a cappella called Be Still My Soul. The introduction to this hymn is as follows in the notes. In a world full of noise and turmoil, we have found that we all need a place of refuge where we can deter ourselves from the chaos of the world. We hope that you all have a chance to get there, even if only for a minute. Unplug from this busy and loud world to hear the heavenly words, "Be still and know that I am God," taken from Psalm 46 and verse 10. This is "Be Still and Know," followed by Joe sharing his reflections on stillness and silence.
Hello. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher, said, "All of man's problems stem from his inability to sit alone in a room for any length of time." Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 37 verse 34 reads, "Don't be impatient for the Lord to act." The story was told of a woman who spent hours in a chapel. She was always silent. Someone asked her what she prayed about, and she said, "Well, I only look at God and he looks at me." It's a lovely story, and there's a lot to be learned from that story, and there's a lot to be learned from Blaise Pascal's saying as well. And most especially, there's a lot to be learned from the scriptures. Over the years, as I have mentioned before, I've not been good at asking the Lord for things, but I have sought his face and found his hand most generous. He's made us in his image, and personality traits come into this too. For example, if you have a friend who likes hanging out with you and you perceive that he has a need, you'll be happy to offer your help without he even having to ask for it. Even if he does ask a favour, you'll be happy to oblige. After all, this is a friend. However, if you only ever hear from him when he wants something, you're going to feel like you're being a bit used, right? It's the same in our relationship with God, and someone said that the Lord isn't beyond feeling used by us at times. If you only show up in his presence on Sundays, and even at that, you're there but not really there, there's something wrong in the relationship, and it's not the Lord that's wrong. In my experience, this relationship is built on silence. In much of my own personal time with him, the only sound that could be heard is a ticking clock in the kitchen. My aunt was married for 50 plus years, and she used to talk about compatible silence. If we are to develop relationship with God, this would be a good thing to remember. I've been in prayer meetings and have wished some people would just shut up. You know what? It's okay to be quiet, even as a group. But in 20 plus years in the kingdom, I've yet to see it happen. The late James McConnell, pastor of Whitewall Metropolitan Tabernacle, said, "There are two types of people in this world. One type always has to say something. The other has something to say." Proverbs 10:19 reads, "In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." There is a time to keep silent and a time to speak. That's from Ecclesiastes 3 verse 7. Proverbs 29:11 reads, "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in until afterwards." The final word goes to Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2. "Do not be quick with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." That's biblical wisdom to remember when entering God's presence. God bless you.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And now, folks, it is time to hand over to the Reverend Rosemary Lindsay as she looks at the scriptures for this week and speaks also on the topic of prayer. Thank you, Rosemary.
Psalm 119. Verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I'm even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 to 34. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will greatly increase the human population and the number of animals here in Israel and Judah. In the past, I deliberately uprooted and tore down this nation. I overthrew it, destroyed it, and brought disaster upon it. But in the future, I will just as deliberately plant it and build it up. I, the Lord, have spoken. The people will no longer quote this proverb. The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. All people will die for their own sins. Those who eat the sour grapes will be the ones whose mouths will pucker. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, "You should know the Lord." For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice, because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" Now, like the other Sundays in the month, the readings for this whole month concentrate on situations which require faith and perseverance, and how God promises to deal with them. In today's reading, Jeremiah is offering hope to a nation that has been destroyed. And the second part of that reading is familiar to anyone who takes part in the annual Methodist Covenant service. I know there are those who are other than Methodist who sometimes use this service too. But at the time when we renew our covenant with God, we read about the new covenant, which Jeremiah says God will make. The Oxford English Dictionary lists testament as one of the definitions of covenant. Covenant and testament are basically all about promises. Our so-called Old Testament deals with the original covenant, and the New Testament with the one described here. Jeremiah's words of hope are fulfilled in Jesus. Psalm 119 and verse 104 says, "Your commandments give me understanding." Attention to God's commands gives us the ability to live as he would have us do. It's necessary to remain faithful, persistent, and clear-headed, as Paul tells Timothy in today's reading. Because the time will come, he says, when people will no longer be satisfied to stick to the truth of the gospel as it presented to them. But hang on. Keep your sense of direction, even when things seem to be going from bad to worse. Always pray. Don't give up. This is the advice that Jesus gives to his disciples. He then illustrates it with the story of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. Will disciples remain faithful and prayerful right until the time when Jesus comes again? That's the question he asks. So keep praying. The time will come when God brings about justice. Let's pray now. Lord, when all seems hopeless and I'm tempted to give up, help me to remember the many promises in your word that when the time is right, you will restore things to the way they should be. Amen.